Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and a gastronaut. And this edition is made in partnership with Royal AVB. Today, we're talking about plant-based meat alternatives and the important role one particular vegetable is playing as the plant-based trend continues to boom, built on the back of a shift to vegetarian, flexitarian, and vegan diets. In the UK, it's forecast that 25% of the population might be vegan or vegetarian by 2025. But there are still many challenges for the sector to overcome, particularly in recreating the appearance, the texture, the flavour and mouthfeel of meat products. On this podcast, we've often talked to companies investing heavily in R&D to try and address these challenges. And in this episode, we're asking, could the answers be found inside potatoes? Now, potatoes feed a billion people a day, but they're also becoming renowned as a source of protein, fibre and starch ingredients, and as an ingredient for processes like gelation and emulsification. With me to dig into what potatoes can offer the plant-based world are Jaap Harkema, segment manager at Royal AVB. Hello there, Jaap.
Hello.
Great to have you. And also Royal AVB's strategic marketing manager, Akeline Vermu. Hello there, Akeline.
Hello, Stephen.
Well, welcome to the podcast, and great to have you all here. Now, when you look at the growth in plant-based meat alternatives generally, Akeline, what underlying trends do you see? Are there demographic or geographical patterns?
Well, we see the world is growing. The population is growing globally, and you see also the disposable income in emerging markets are expanding. So these are two underlying trends. From a regional perspective, you see the front-runner markets in terms of size and new products which are coming to shelf are really Europe and North America. And when we look from a consumer perspective, the real key driver is that plant-based is healthy for the planet and also healthy for myself. And from a consumer perspective, also looking at animal welfare, by purchasing plant-based meat products, consumers really trying and are able to express their value and their values and their beliefs. So these are really the underlying trends we see regarding plant-based meat.
Yeah. And we've seen last year that the market growth of plant-based meat is slowing down a bit and large players reporting declining profits and layoffs of personnel. But do you believe that this is a temporary development and what is needed to turn this around again?
Yes, indeed, we think this is temporary. The plant-based meat market is not really a niche anymore. It is really here to stay. And we see within the global consumption, 50% of the global consumers are avoiding animal-based products or at least slowing down their intake of animal-based products. On the other hand, we also have to admire that consumers are concerned about, am I able to pay my bills this week? And am I able to pay my daily grocery? So as a result of that, people do change their shopping habits and also their consumption habits. They do want to reduce the intake of regular meat. But at the same time, this could also be an opportunity, yeah? Because we must not forget that people really want to treat themselves so now and then, and also want to have nothing regarding compromises there. So this really creates an opportunity for plant-based sector to target these consumers which want to have a plant-based experience with a real meat-like texture and taste. Because people are not only looking towards the cheapest option, but they're also looking to have value for money.
So what do you think consumers want when it comes to plant-based meat? And what are they unable to get at the moment?
Well, what they really want is the taste and texture. These are really king. A lack of taste is really what people are mentioning, why they don't want to eat or repeat the plant-based meat consumption. So they really want to have the original experience there. Mainly also flexitarian, which is really the largest group of plant-based meat consumers. They want to look for the same taste, that really that tasty, that bite, that juiciness, what you also have within your meat. People also responding towards they want to understand what they're eating. They want to understand the ingredients list. So that is also looking towards more natural, less processed, less chemical ingredients are needed to produce those plant-based meat products. And also locally sourced is getting more and more popular, that people want to know where it's growing and also where it comes from, but it's also the sustainable aspect, eh? That you really want to reduce your carbon footprint. And what I just also mentioned, they want to have value for money. So they really want to have the real meat consumption experience when they have a plant-based meat alternative.
They want everything.
They want everything, yeah.
Consumers, crikey. So yeah, what are the challenges from a producer's point of view? Is it, you know, there must be lots of technical things that you need to get right. Is it the texture? Is it the taste? What are the really tricky things in terms of producing plant-based meats?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are quite some challenges to overcome, because a producer of plant-based meat alternatives is obviously limited to using plant ingredients, huh? And plant ingredients are different from meat or from their animal-based counterparts. So think, for example, about taste. I mean, plants don't taste like meat. So to the contrary, so you have to do something to make it taste like meat. Color can be an issue too, especially in light-colored meat alternatives like chicken or fish. Then there is the texturing functionality, for example, huh? The ability to achieve the required vibrosity, firmness, juiciness, etc. Plant proteins tend to have a poor solubility, and that affects there also the capacity to provide texture, gelation, emulsification, and this has to be compensated for. Then there is the processing. It would be great if you could produce a plant-based meat the same way you would produce a meat product, but that's not the case. Often it requires adjustments to the processes used, the heating, the mixing, the equipment. So adjustments are needed. And last but not least, also the origin of the plant-based ingredients used. Meat itself is not allergenic, and producers would like to keep it that way. But many plant-based ingredients are allergenic, huh? Like soy and wheat. Mm. And the producers do not like that. They do not like to add allergens to their formulations.
So let's talk about the potato for a second, Eklin. I mean, to be honest, I am fascinated by potatoes. They've got such an extraordinary history. And I love the fact that there's now a sort of a future as well with the potato. There's lots still to discover. We'll go into the details in a moment. But on a broad scale, what can the potato bring to the plant-based meat alternative world?
Potato is really unique in the sense that it is gluten-free. It is clean label and it's a very sustainable crop source. And potato also providing us several ingredient components like protein, starches and fibers. And all these three really can play an important role by improving the taste and texture of plant-based meat. So really to obtain that meaty-like texture and taste.
So plant-based protein and fiber and starch and other derivatives can be derived from many sources. So, Jaap, what differentiates the potato from the competition?
Well, as Eklin just said, it's a non-GMO and highly sustainable crop. But most interestingly, I would say, it's a source of a number of great food ingredients. Huh? To start with the protein, potato protein. It really has unique properties, which cannot be provided by other plant proteins. We always like to compare it to a raw egg. With a raw egg, you can use to bind a meatball. Eh? It will set upon cooking. You can use it to stabilize a mayonnaise, build a stable emulsion. You can whip it into a foam to make a mousse or a confectionery product. And all these functions can also be provided by potato protein. And other plant proteins, like from soy or pea, they cannot do this, or only at a much higher use level. I think in plant-based meat products, especially the gelation upon heating is a unique characteristic, very important, and because you want to have binding, cohesion, firmness in your plant-based meat product. So that is the key function of potato protein. Well, egg white can do this, but this is not vegan, obviously. There's a product called methyl cellulose, which can also do this. It's a hydrocolloid, but this has an E number, so it's not clean label. So when you want a vegan and a clean label solution to do this job, then potato protein is the product of choice. And well, vegan and clean label are more and more important requirements for both manufacturers and also consumers. Besides the protein, there's also potato starch and potato fiber to fill the gaps. Potato starch has the highest water binding capacity of all available starches. And potato fiber is also known for its water absorption capacity. It works kind of like a sponge. So it keeps water during storage, but when you prepare and consume plant-based meat products, it will release the moisture and hence give juiciness. And all that without E numbers, so clean label.
Mm-hmm. And if we look at protein in particular, I mean, I'm fascinated by the fact that there is so much protein in potatoes, but what particular processes can potato-based proteins help with?
Yeah, to answer your first remark, there is not a lot of protein in a potato. It's just 1-2%. But
I think that's a lot. I'm amazed that there's that much.
Yeah. Yeah, and since Avebe produces so much, processes so much potatoes, we can still produce a sizable volume of potato protein. And your second question, yeah, there are many different ways to manufacture plant-based meat alternatives. There's the first generation products. They're made by simply mixing and forming product into the desired shape. Think of burgers, patties, nuggets, fish sticks. A coating around it may be applied. This is still a very large category, quite mature, but still growing. And potato protein helps there to give the binding, the cohesion, the firmness, the bite, the mouthfeel. So important category. Also, extrusion technology is widely used to produce plant-based meats. And this results in a very fibrous meat-like texture. But again, in most cases, binding and cohesion is still required, which can be provided by potato protein. Then you have a category of so-called emulsions, like sausages, cold cuts, deli meats, hot dogs, mortadella, a wide range of products. And here you want to have a fine and stable emulsion and also meaty textures like, for example, knack or bite juiciness. Again, potato protein in combination with other functional ingredients can deliver this. Looking ahead, a lot is happening in this market. New products, new technologies are popping up. Raw steaks are there, a wide variety of seafood is on the market, new technologies like 3D printing. Next to plant-based, there's also a lot happening in cell-based or cultured meat and all kinds of hybrid forms of these technologies. But what they all have in common is that they need binding, cohesion, bite, firmness to mimic meat. And so the need for texturing ingredients like potato protein, potato starch, potato fiber will always continue to play a role.
Oh, that's absolutely fascinating. That's so versatile, isn't it? And so the question is, are you able to get these ingredients from just standard non-GM potatoes, or do you need GM or gene-edited potatoes to be able to achieve this?
No. Standard non-GM potatoes will do the job. However, it's different potatoes, not the same potatoes that we use, the ones that are used for fries, wedges, mashed potato, and so on. So the variety specially bred by our own breeding institute to have as high as possible starch and protein content. They're not nice to eat. Classical breeding, obviously, GMO-free. And we can isolate a substantial volume. As I mentioned, there's just between 1-2% protein in a potato. But if you would see our potato reception facilities, it's huge. So we process a lot of potatoes, so also a lot of protein and starch. We isolate it via a patented process and via a very mild and gentle process to not to damage the protein, because we want to make sure all the solubility, all the functionality like gelling and emulsifying is maintained. Comparable to the raw egg that I used in a previous question.
Yeah. Okay, well, these are all pretty words and lots of technical discussions, but how about a real sensory experience? So I've got a few of your products here. We've got some mini fillets, grilled Cajun mini fillets, some Memphis-style barbecue mini fillets, and some salami and mortadella. What should I try? Can you tell me a little bit about these products and tell me how I should go about it?
Well, Stephen, I would like to advise you to start with chicken pieces. Uh-huh. That is made also with potato protein. It's cold via the extrusion-like process, like the power heater. It's just a technology in which potato protein works very, very well. When you taste those chicken pieces, you will hopefully recognize the real meat-like structure and taste, because the potato protein really provides the binding and cohesion within these chicken pieces. And those chicken pieces, you can eat them cold and hot. I would like to advise to taste them the first time hot, but curious to what your experience is.
Okay, so there'll be a bit of clanking, because here in the studio, I've written a risk assessment for this and everything. I've got a little gas stove. There'll be a bit of clanking and kitchen noises. Let's see if this is going to work for me. There we go. So these, I mean, they look pretty good. They look uncannily like little chunks of chicken. Mm. So I'm going to go for Memphis barbecue style, because I'm a bit of a barbecue fan. There we are. Yeah, they do. They're beautifully chicken-like. Well, they're great. Yeah, I really like it. They're sort of so little brown little chunks. It's like shreds of big sort of chunky shreds of chicken. So let's pop some of those. In fact, I'll put half in my pan for a little bit of a quick fry up, and then I'll save some. I just want to nibble one now because it's breakfast time. But okay, let's just spin those around a little bit and warm that up. Okay, so we'll just give this 2 minutes to warm up a little bit. And I am going to go and grab some tongs while they warm up. So if you see my studio bursting into flames, just call the fire brigade for me. OK, it'll be 1 minute. A little bit of a sizzle going on, I like that.
Sounds good.
It does sound good. It smells quite good as well. I'm trying to hold back, wait for the moment.
Yeah, I can hear it sizzling.
Yeah, you can hear it sizzling. We don't have the smell.
What? I can't believe that. Should be able to smoke from here. Okay, turn that off and just let them rest for a moment. A little bit hot. Just give them a moment to cool down. They browned really well, actually. I was quite surprised. I kind of thought, how'd you get that to brown? But I guess it's packed with protein. The smell is absolutely spot on. But then that's not the magic bit. Let's have a little taste. That is uncannily chicken-like. So, what's interesting here? So it's got that moistness of chicken. It's got that umami flavour from searing the proteins, where the Maillard reaction kind of, you know, that cascade of reactions makes it sort of sweet and savoury and oh, that's absolutely delicious. But the texture's really good as well. So it's got, it sort of seems to have that fibre, that fibrous texture that you get from chicken, which is so hard to get in plant-based meats. I think that is genius. I love it. The big question is, could I serve it to my kids and not tell them that it's plant-based? Which I'll try that this evening.
Well, yeah, try it.
I think that is uncannily good. That's absolutely genius. So has it gone through huge amounts of testing to get to this stage?
Yes. I mean, it's not an overnight thing. I mean, it takes a lot of work to achieve the right texture, this fibrosity that you mentioned, but also the taste and the color. Mm.
But great that you like it.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's also got the randomness of texture that chicken has, where you've got certain bits are kind of strand-like, and then you've got other bits that are sort of little sort of juicy chunks in a chicken, especially things like a piece of chicken thigh, which is my favorite bit of the chicken. And this really does seem to have that. I'm very impressed. That's really good. All right, one last little bit.
You can't stop eating.
Oh, no, it's terrible. It is breakfast time here in the UK. It's about 9:30. So I'm allowing myself a bit of barbecue for chicken, barbecue for breakfast. So I've also got a little pack of mortadella here. So let's try this. So this is trying it cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, but in these type of products, the potato protein really provides the emulsification and also the stability, so that in the end you have that really that smooth texture, what you normally have within the regular mortadella, you also have within this plant-based version.
Yeah, okay. Okay. That is extraordinary. Yeah, that is exactly the texture of mortadella. I really wasn't expecting that. I was expecting a sort of slight foaminess or something, or something that was almost good enough. But that is extraordinary. That's uncanny. Mm. Really good. So this is the mortadella. So obviously, it's a very sort of soft type of sort of meat product normally, but quite difficult to recreate it in a way that it sort of breaks up in your mouth. I think that's brilliant. I love it. It's really good.
Well, great.
Yeah, I think you've seen now two examples of completely different types of meat, but then in the plant-based form. So one whole muscle chicken piece and the other a sausage-type product, an emulsion. And in both cases, I think the producer has achieved to get pretty close to the original.
Yeah.
It looks like meat, it smells like meat, it also can be prepared and consumed like meat. So, I think good achievement in both cases.
Yeah. And in your opinion, Jaap, do you think, is this as good as what you'd find in meat-based products in your view?
I think so. I think we chose two good examples, obviously, to send to you. But I think these products are good examples of what is available on the market and what flexitarian or consumers like.
Yeah, absolutely. And a clean label. You mentioned this earlier on. Clean label is something that consumers look for and producers look for it too. Are your products able to offer that?
Yes, certainly we are able to offer that. Our potato protein is also what Jaap already mentioned. It is clean label. And within AVB, we have a large range of starches and fibers, which are also clean label. Because indeed, producers are looking to have a clean label and an understandable ingredient list on the pack. And they really want to replace methylcellulose. So within potato starch, you could really find a solution for this challenge. I do have to mention, of course, this is depending on the desired end structure of your end product, because we don't have one solution that fits all, unfortunately. But if listeners are very interested and want to have more inside knowledge about the possibilities, I would really like to recommend them to contact us. And we are always happy to support with our potato-based solutions, of course.
And what do you think the next step will be in plant-based foods, other than just sending me another load of them, which would be great? And how is AVB positioned to address the challenges on the horizon?
Well, the focus of today is, of course, really improving at taste and texture and getting more to the real meat experience. So it's more regarding the technology, like the mixing and the forming and extrusion, what you just also tasted yourself. But of course, we are also looking towards the next merging technologies like cultured meat, cultivated meat, hybrid forms, D3 printing, and also looking towards what are the challenges and wishes of the producers there, and how can we, with our potato, really contribute in terms of added value within these new technologies. But always keep in mind that it's a clean label is not anymore a nice to have, but it's really getting more and more a need to have. And besides just not mimicking only the meat within plant-based meat, we are also think that a next step could be that you're creating and developing more standalone products. And what do I mean with standalone products? It is more that you have that nutritious meal component on your plate or as a snack, which is really providing your the daily requirements in terms of nutrition, like protein, fibers, etc. So let me call it a bamburger instead of a hamburger.
I love that. That's brilliant.
That is how we will look at the future. And also, Jaap and myself, I want to advise all the listeners. We are just two of the many AVB employees who are working on new products and new processes, new applications. But our application specialists who are working in our high-tech innovation center in Groningen, they have an extensive know-how on plant-based meat, but also plant-based food and food in general. So please contact with us and let's discuss your challenge and the challenges of your listeners and how we can collaborate and support and really provide an added value what you just tasted from our potato solutions.
Fantastic. Okay, well, that was all absolutely fascinating. And I should also add that I would never just say that these things are delicious because AVB are very lovely people and they've sent them to me for free. These are my genuine thoughts. I respect our listeners far too much to make it up. But then again, I just do love food. So I'm amazed that it works like this. Okay, so Akelin Vermeu and Jaap Hakema, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Royal AVB. And if you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. Remember, if you enjoyed the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, go on, leave us a review. It makes a lot of difference. Thank you so much for listening.